for ourselves. Prayer is communication with God, and we talked about the prayer of faith, sometimes called the prayer of petition, where you communicate with God on your own behalf, for your own benefit. Now, we're going to add a very important word that we must understand about prayer, and it's the word supplication. And I'll put it up here so you can remember. And supplication is simply making a request. Well, we found out how to make a request for ourselves, to go with the Word of God, with a specific desire that's guided by the Word of God and the Spirit, and to stand in faith, not wavering until that desire comes to pass. Know that God always answers our prayer. We go with His Word, we go with His promise. All the promises of God are yea and amen. So our prayer is secure. First John says the confidence we have in Him. We have confidence because we have God's promise, we have God's Word. So we go and make a supplication on our own behalf. Now look at Philippians 4, verse 6. We've covered that in detail, including reasons that that might not work for you. One reason we covered last week in detail, if you don't walk in love, your faith won't work. It disables and cripples faith so that though you have great faith in the promise, your lack of love, just because you're ornery and uptight and bitter and resentful and malicious, will prevent your faith from working. And so we make those corrections, and we learn how to keep our faith online. The whole time you're waiting for your request to come to pass, you have to keep your faith online. Keep going back to the promise. Every day, read the promise. You said you'd meet my need, and I'm thanking you for $114.12. That was my first house payment. Is that amazing? You can tell how old I am by that. And you keep thanking Him. You keep thanking Him. And you don't look by what you see. You see, it's what you see. It's what's in the world that causes your faith to waver. So you're totally focused on God, totally focused on the promise, and you're going to maintain, because there's often a time span between the day that you ask for this and believe you receive and the time it actually shows up. Now, God is going to get it in your own time or ahead of time, every time, because that's who He is. So we're going to stand in faith, stand in the Word. We're going to walk in love. We're not going to let circumstances or delays cause us to waver. Now, Philippians 4 says, don't worry about anything. That King James says, be careful for nothing. That's full of care, full of worry. Don't fret, don't have anxiety about anything. That's because worry disables faith. Love, lack of love disables faith. Fear disables faith. We want our faith on the line. We don't want it limping along. And so we're going to lay aside worry. But in everything by prayer, and here's the key word, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request. Supplication is a request. The word supplication leans very much in the direction of urgency, urgent need. And you can tell that from this verse, something that you're worrying about, that you're inclined to worry about, that you're stirred about, that you would be crippled by worrying is on your mind. And you can see that there is in this verse a sense of urgency. But the first thing we're going to do is lay aside worry. Years ago, there was a young man who was mentally challenged, and he still lived with his parents on the farm. And they were out farming, and the storm came up. They were a good distance from the house and the barn. And a storm came up, and lightning thunder, and he's going to run for the house, and the parents were huddled in a ditch. They were elderly. He was in his 30s or 40s himself, I think. And he wanted to run for the house. And they thought they'd run for the house, and then they thought they wouldn't run for the house. Well, a double-minded man is unstable, double-minded, two opinions. See, we don't waver in anything. We've made a request to God. We've made a supplication based on our need and based on His promise. You have a right to make a request for your own benefit, for your own behalf, without worry, without fear. And finally, he said, run, mama, run. A scared prayer won't work. Such light in that. Such life in that. Well, we're not going to worry. We're not going to be afraid. God's our Father. He's for us. The psalmist began to stumble around. I think he said, oh, if the Lord's on our side. My, if the Lord's on our side. It's like he had that thought and couldn't turn loose of it. And you don't have to turn loose. Like God is for you. He's on your side. He never leaves you or forsake you. So you can make your request, your supplication. Even if it's an urgent request, without worry, without fear, God is going to come through for you. That's who he is. He said, asking you shall receive. Not asking you might receive. You could receive. I hope you receive. Give it a shot. You never know. It could work. That doesn't bring any faith at all. It's certainly not scripture. It says, everyone that asks receives. You go according to the word. You abide me in my words. Abide me. You ask what you will and it shall be done. You go according to the word. You have great confidence. God is going to come through. Ahead of time, one time, you're going to get what you need. You have a right to supplicate or to make a request for your desire. Now look at Ephesians 6:18. And let's move a step further today and pray for others. We read this verse all the time here. Pray always with all prayer, or all kinds of prayer, all manners of prayer. In supplication, in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now we've moved past supplicating or making a request for ourselves and making a request for the saints, something that you need that I'm going to ask God on your behalf. Now it says, first of all, we're going to supplicate in the the Spirit. So that means I will be prompted by the Spirit or led by the Spirit to make this request for you. You know, people come to you for prayer. Sometimes it's a mystery how to solve that problem, what to ask God for. Thank God for the gift of other tongues. We're going to start first, though, talking about how to pray the Word. You see, every prayer is based upon the Word of God. And Pentecostals tend to go to seed in tongues and don't know much about how to pray the Word. And yet the Word is full of supplications for other people. And it says we're going to watch in the Spirit because we're going to be guided and led by the Spirit. And often the Spirit leads us to a specific word, a specific scripture. I don't have to know you. I don't have to understand your desire. I have to know Him. I have to know who He is and be led by Him. And you may just pass somebody on the street and you know they have a really need today. Well, there is the leadership of the Spirit, not only in other tongues, but in the Word as well. And we're going to watch, and the word watch is key here. In other words, I'm always, if you're watching a young child, you're always on guard so that child's not hurt or harmed or hindered, and you know where they are. Now, Ashley, who's 18 now, was an escape artist. And so quite quickly, we had security system in our house. We had the security system extended to the back door so that when the doors opened, the alarm. Now, of course, if you lock the security system, doors automatically would alarm. But just on a day-to-day basis, coming in and out, going in and out, so you don't have to lock the door. Anytime the door's open, it goes ding, 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 ding. We did that for Ashley's benefit because she's all the time escaping. And somehow when she was little, she didn't get the point that wasn't a good idea. And so we did that because we're watching over her. Now it says, we're real good at watching over all my life. I need this, I need that, bring me this, give me this, do for me, bring to me, give to me. And we do that at home, we become a habit of that. Wayne, right, would you bring me a, could you get me a, are you going to the kitchen? And we become real dependent so that we're not on our own feet, doing our own thing. And the emphasis of the scripture is not what you need, but what you can do for others. And it says, first of all, we're going to pray for others. It says we're going to esteem or value others better than ourselves. But we're not too good at that. We haven't had much practice with that. If I have a problem, I'm certainly not concerned about yours. I'm concerned about myself. And as long as I'm me-centered, I'm going to thwart the scripture. Because the scripture puts the emphasis not on what God will do for me, but what God will do through me for you. And that's the emphasis of the scripture. Well, it says we're going to watch and persevere. Supplication for all the saints, for the entire body of Christ. I'm watching over in case that in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit would prompt me or lead me to pray something for you, to do something for you, to help you in some way. So I'm going to watch. Now look at Colossians 4:2. Let's read it again. The word watch simply means sleepless or alert. You know, you see on the news children that have been drowned in the pool or found in the middle of the road, taking a walk. One was walking down my road, just had diapers in, so I was like, yeah, couldn't even talk yet. And we don't have any near neighbors, and so I'm looking way down the road to the nearest street, and I walked him in that direction. It's obvious that nobody was watching. See, we're to watch over one another. We're to be alert, sleepless, and vigilant is another word used by the scripture. And so in case you need something, I'm on tap to help you. I'm standing on my toes. In order, stand on your toes is a baseball expression. When you stand on your toes, you're ready for the next foot play. They're supposed to be on their toes. And so I'm standing on my toes in the Spirit, watching the Spirit, in case the Lord would prompt me. I'm to pray in the Spirit, prompted by the Spirit. Now, this works two ways. If I see you and downtown and you look like you lost your best friend, it doesn't take much prompting to know that perhaps you need prayer. And I go to God and I begin to pray. As I pray, I can tell if God is going to, we call it hook up. Now, that's just a Pentecostal term. I never heard that till I came into Pentecost. I didn't know anything about hooking up. And one lady, she must have been from the same church I was, she said, can you explain hook up? Everybody here, I go to prayer, but they say, hook up, hook up. So I have a clue what that means. But, you know, trains are hooked together. And then if you're going down the track, you're going further down the track, you have to hook together. Well, you have to be hooked to the Holy Ghost. And sometimes I see you, and you look really sad, you look like you lost your best friend, you look like you have a very difficult day, and I begin to pray for you, and God's not interested. See, and He's the one. It's His mind. Prayer is duplicating the mind of God. Write that down, never forget it. Prayer is duplicating the mind of God. Well, either somebody already prayed for you, or the answer's already at your house, and you didn't know it yet. There's some reason that prayer wasn't necessary. If I find, you know, it's all about fishing. You put your, I don't like fishing, but I went one time with Wayne before we got married. That was the end of my career. But you put that rod in, and you, or the bamboo pole, whatever you're fishing with, you don't get any bites. You know, after a while, you move on. And it's like throwing that rod in, and God's not biting. You know, you look sad to me. You look in need. You look in need to me. So I can go to bed with what I see with my physical eyes. But on the other hand, God is going to prompt me and bring to me, to my spirit, what he sees. And you may be happy as a lark singing, and you don't look like you have a problem or an enemy in the world. And yet, God sees something. And I begin to duplicate in words what God sees. Because it's not my words you need, it's the word of heaven. And we're vessels of heaven. We're vessels of prayer, vessels of heaven. It says to prefer the brethren above yourself. When you prefer somebody, put them first. So I'm not so concerned about it. We always begin with the prayer of faith when we teach prayer, generally speaking, because people are so me-centered. Years ago, I was doing a Bible study, and we actually were praying, and nobody was hooked in. You know, it was like they were all thinking about the supper they didn't have or the one they had too much of or something. And they just weren't. We were praying about some issue, and nobody was, it just wasn't working. And so I said, oh, let's forget that. Let's pray about ourselves. I know you have a problem. Pray about yourself. And the room exploded. People began to pray. They got louder and louder and louder and louder. And that's kind of the norm. Do for me, bring to me, pray for me, give to me. I have, I need. But my emphasis, and this is of the scripture, is not what I need. It's what you need, what I can do for you, and how I can help the body. And I have to be so watching, so alert. If the Spirit nudges me, no matter how you look to me or what I know about you, I can tap into heaven, tap into God, and bring you what you need. Now, I want delivery. I can deliver it. You can throw it away if you want to. You know, somebody gives you a birthday present, you wonder, why in the world? What is this for? What is this? I had just come as a rule of thumb, you don't have to write this down, you can go by this, but somebody gives me something, I keep it a year. Because I really think you need to be appreciative. And I have a thing about people not being appreciative. I keep it a year. And sometimes after a year, I really like it. And sometimes, throw it out. I get away. I keep it a while. And I keep it to remind me that you loved me enough to do that for me. And I want to see in the end time, one of the characteristics of the end time for Jesus Christ is people are going to be ungrateful. You need to know the world is moving over and closer to the end times because ingratitude rules. But it doesn't rule the house of God. It doesn't rule the people of God. It doesn't have to rule your heart. You can be very, very, very grateful. Well, we're to consider others as better than ourselves, and we're to watch in prayer over the saints. And here it says, continue in prayer and watching the saint with thanksgiving. Now, that's a problem. Sometimes we're not watching with thanksgiving. I begin to pray, I'm the same as you are. Oh, Lord, especially if you've talked to me and I'm aware of your problems. Oh, Lord, what will she ever do? What will they ever do? What are you going to do? But I have to keep how big God is and what resources he has and how he's for his people and how he always keeps his word. And I'm not sad, I'm glad, because I can bring you the answer. I can deliver it to you if you don't like it. But, you know, you don't have to get saved. You can go to hell if you want to. But I'm going to pray for you and bring you knowledge of salvation. That's my part, to see that you get the information that you need. And I'm sure that I can pray and bring it to you because God said we could pray for laborers in the harvest. And what laborers do is they come for information. Either you bring the information, I bring the information, or someone we don't know brings information. Years ago, we were ministering to a couple that Wayne worked with, and he had taken a job in Illinois. And they were moving. Well, they were a fine church couple, but they weren't born again. It's quite obvious that they weren't very faithful to their church, but they didn't know God. And over time, he got born again. He worked with Wayne. He got born again. But I had talked to her several times. She didn't quite catch on, you know, to what you're talking about. She didn't have enough knowledge. It's amazing you can go to church and be ignorant. You won't find that here. Unless you're not listening. Because God is moving all of our services to inform us and teach us. Well, I began to whine to the Lord. I said, Lord, I wasn't through with her. She's not born again yet. They don't need to move yet. And then it dawned on me. It says, Matthew, pray to laborers. Laborers go with information. I'm the laborer here, but she's not going to be here. She came back months later after they moved, and she called me. She says, I don't have a car. My mother's very ill. I'm here to help her. Could you come pick me up for lunch? I'll tell you something. So I went. Wonder Haven, I went over. And she wanted me to know she got born again. But two houses down from where they moved to Illinois was a fine Christian lady that ministered her, brought her a Bible, wanted to the Lord. See, laborers bring you the information. And it may not be that you're distributing. You're praying to see that they get what they need. Whether it's information, whether it's love, whether it's strength, whether it's faith, but you're praying to bring them what they need. Now, they have to pick up with it. You have to trust. trust God that He knows how to get them to open their hand and to receive. Well, this is continuing prayer. Well, it's with thanksgiving. That's why you can be thankful. Because it's working. It's working. The Holy Ghost is working. He's working. He's working. The Holy Ghost is working. He's working. He is working. You know, I say often that God's not like Santa Claus. Santa Claus is not doing anything. He's got a piece of paper writing things down. He's not helping you, assisting you. He's just making some notes as to whether or not he thought your behavior was acceptable or unacceptable. But God is always working. He's working in you to will and do His good pleasure. If you're trusting God, He's working on the inside. You can know He's working. And when I pray for you and pray by the Spirit and do what I think is right in the Spirit, then I know God is working in you. And I trust Him. So what if it doesn't work? I say, well, if it does. We need to get off the negative side of the path. And it will work. God is working. Now let's look at 1 Peter 4:7. Read it one more time. You're supposed to be a watchman. Watchman, watch like you're watching over the baby. Like you're watching over the young child. I love a couple little girls. Their mother taught them to not try things that they were insecure about. They're real tiny, but to ask for help. One of them can't even say help. She says, help. She stand on the sofa and she started to get down. She realized she couldn't get down. And she started saying, help! 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 And I love that. You can't ask for heaven's help and heaven say, sorry. Maybe tomorrow. God's got a headache. Hasn't had his coffee. No, he's working. He's working. And you're supposed to be watching. And somebody's watching her. The minute she said, help, you know what happened? Her mother showed up. Imagine that. Just instantly, Mama showed up. Mama heard that cry from the other room. Heard that little voice say, help, help. And Mama showed up to help her off the sofa. And you know God's master will show up. He is going to show up. And I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for you. I'm not concerned about me. I'm going to walk with God all the days of my life. I know Him. I'm growing in God. Now, sometimes God might, I might stumble and God might use you. You might be stirred to pray for me. Just as sometimes I'm stirred to pray for you. You don't have to know anything. One thing I know about Pentecostals are very nosy. You can even write that down that I've said it. I don't care. And they begin to pray, especially if they're praying in other tongues. They want to know what they're praying about, what God is doing. What if she has some problem? What if I should call her? Well, I did pray for you. First thing I want to do is call you and say, I prayed for you today. And that's often a big mistake. Often a big mistake. You'd be prompted by the Spirit. Now, here's 1 Peter 4:7 says the same thing. The end of all things is at hand. Be sober. That's serious, discreet. Watch under prayer. You're supposed to be watching the body of Christ, watching all things. Now look at 1 Timothy. Watching to see how, if you can pray, if you can be a part of the answer. Here's one we read all the time. Maybe we haven't seen it quite this way. 1 Timothy 2. We see it a lot with governments. But before it talks about praying for governments and those in authority, it says, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, requests. Requests, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. I can make a request for anybody, for everybody, for all men. Request. Now, supplication and intercession is two sides of one coin, and we'll talk about intercession. But let's talk about supplication and making a request. Let's lay some groundwork. Supplication for help for people. See, the Ephesians said for the body of Christ, for the saints, but this says for everybody. Years ago, a school teacher called me. She was so frustrated. Two little boys were in her class. They were brothers, but they were not the same age. But one obviously hadn't been promoted. And she was frustrated. She explained her frustration. I'm going, you know, that's my norm. And I listened. I was compassionate. And I counseled her and told her how God was on her side and He would give her love and mercy, you know. And we believe the parents would come around. The parents were very uncooperative. And we said all the right things, you know. And I got off the phone, never gave another thought until in the Spirit I heard these words in my spirit. Some children never get prayer all the days of their life. Now, I don't have to be too smart to realize God's calling me to pray for those little boys. And that's what we did. And a miracle occurred. And next time the father was called because the mother wasn't there anymore, the mother disappeared, which turned out to be a really good thing. Thank God for praying in the Spirit because you pray the perfect will of God. I didn't ask God to send her away. She just disappeared, and she was a problem. See, God obviously thought she wasn't going to change. And the father, I think, was very, very cooperative, very, very helpful, and changes that were good for those little boys began to be made. Well, thank God we can watch. We can watch, and the Holy Ghost prompts us. I would have given those little boys another thought. I might have prayed for her because I could see she's really, really frustrated. She's with them every day, and she's really seriously overextended trying to help them and moving past a mother that won't come and a father that won't come. And finally, when the mother disappeared, and I didn't ask God to send her away. Don't ever pray that way. That would be dumb, 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 dumb. But she did disappear. I prayed to God, she disappeared. And that was a good thing. In this situation, it's a good thing. See, God knows all things. He knows the solution. And when I pray, watching over the body of Christ, I pray. This is watch over all men, and it specifically mentions kings and all in authority. We emphasize the kings and all authority. But I want you to see, it says, first of all, pray for all men. First of all, pray for yourself. What's it say? First of all, pray for all men. First of all, pray for others. Look at Philippians. Let's look at one more verse to prove this. We have such a hard time stepping past our need. There are several important verses. In just a minute. See if I even know where it is. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. In lowliness, but let each, how many? How many? Does that include you? Esteem or value others. How? So my concern is you. Why? Because God said so. Isn't that what he said? Let's read again. Look at Romans. He said, pray first of all for all men. First of all. Anybody need anything I can do today? That's what I say to God when I go to pray. Anybody need anything that I can help for me? Chapter 12. Verse 10. Be kind and affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor. What? Preferring. In honor. Because of honor. You prefer others. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? Because of honor. Because you're an honorable person. And you honor God and you honor his word. You value, you esteem, you prefer. You understand preferences. If you give me lemon and chocolate, I won't choose lemon. Because I'm not chocolate either. If you give me lemon, chocolate, coconut, I'm going to choose lemon. If I don't like that, I'm going to coconut. I'm just not a chocolate person. I had chocolate one time. I thought it was acceptable, but it wasn't my preference. You understand preference. If I go to a restaurant, I'll choose chicken. I'm not a steak person. I can eat steak. You go to your house, you serve steak, I'm going to eat it. I'll be just as happy with chicken. I have preferences. It's okay to have preferences. It's okay for you to be different, not obnoxious. I don't eat that! You know, I ate salmon in Scotland 3 meals in a row, and on the top of my do not ever eat list is salmon. And they boiled it in water. I wouldn't have liked it if it had been properly cooked. And I ate it. And then I thought, I made it. And they served it again. And then they served it a third time. And then they followed it by mutton. Now, I don't know if you know there's a difference in lamb and mutton. Mutton's kind of an old lamb. And it is a big deal. My grandma used to cook lamb. I can eat lamb, but this was kind of beyond. You know, if it won't go under your nose, it can't go in your mouth. You know, this definitely wasn't going under your nose, I'm just telling you. And so I ate a couple bites, and I thought Beth had set in. And so, you know, you have to be polite, especially when you travel and you're ministering. And whatever they set before me, I eat. But I do have some preferences, and if I had had a menu, I would never have ordered mutton, lamb, or salmon. Never. Now, they did serve us beer, and I thought that was exciting. It was excellent, excellent. I had never eaten that before, thought it was excellent. But I fed the dog my lamb under the table. I don't write that down because that's not good behavior. And she said, the dog followed me the rest of the week, you know that. We were there at her house for some time, and she says, my dog just loves you. I thought, oh, God's lamb, he likes. He likes mutton. I have preferences. God said, if you have a preference, it should not be yourself. It should be the other guy. That's your preference. Oh, no, I choose you. I choose you. We have to go over that and go over that and over that and consider that because we're so selfish. That's the truth. But love is never selfish. And so we just have to get over it. I think, well, I'll do for you first. just as soon as I, you know, you're not going to put mine, I'll do mine first. I wouldn't do for you, but right after I do for me. I wonder if that's what Scripture meant. I doubt it. So we're going to make requests for others. But here's the thing. When you come to me, as it happens just quite regularly, would you pray for my brother, sister, uncle, cousin, son, Texas? I'm thinking. And then she rattles on a bunch of details, you know, what's happened with him. I'm thinking, who is that? Who is that? You know, I'm just trying to get focused on who we're praying for here. And then she wants me to pray. She wants me to be absolutely eloquent and brilliant. And I can't remember who we're praying for. Brother's uncle's cousin, sister's son. And then one lady said, and oh yeah, he's guilty. He was going to court. She said, oh yeah, he's guilty. I don't have a clue. I did not know what to do. Well, you can rely on the Holy Ghost. He knows what to do. And he's on the inside. If he says pray for all people and pray first for people before you pray for yourself, pray for all men first of all, and he's going to tell you what to do. I don't hesitate to pray what I call the prayer of evasion. You know that prayer? It's not in Scripture. It's the prayer I pray when I don't know exactly how to pray. So that you won't know that I don't know. And then I go home and really pray and figure out what we need here and call you. I've done that several times. Or now I've just admitted I say, you know, you have to use time to think about this. I think honesty pays. Especially the little kid that was guilty. I thought about that a long time. And I was in the spirit one day praying about him. His court date was coming up. And I was in the spirit and I was praying. And suddenly I heard myself say, mercy, have mercy. And I realized the will of God, it's not the will of God for every disobedient person, but it was the will of God for this kid that he have mercy. And though he was guilty, they let him go home. Great, great mercy was extended. And I remember crying out in the spirit. The other day I was in the spirit. See, in the spirit, other times you go past your knowledge. And yet there are some things that I have in my mind that I have knowledge of through the Scripture. I can go in other tongues, but I'm not going to begin in other tongues. I'm going to begin with the Word and the leadership of the Spirit. I'm going to pray in faith. If I pray the prayer of faith for myself, faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So I have to have the Word. If I'm going to pray for you in faith, I still have to have the Word of God. What Word do you need? Where can I stand for you? I'm going to pray the Word. I'm not going to skip praying the Word. Unless I just am totally, completely confused about what to do. But I was praying just 2 weeks ago in the spirit, praying in other tongues. And I heard my faith say, officer, 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 almost frantic. You see, God uses you beyond your knowledge, beyond your sphere of influence. He's a great and mighty God. He's a God who helps people. He's a God who gave us other tongues because we don't know enough to how to pray as we ought. But there are some things we do know. And look at Ephesians 1. Just because we don't know everything, we do know some things. Now, here are 6 things I'm going to give you that you can pray for others, that the Scripture tells you to pray for others. And what a help this is. My, my, my. Yeah, I think you will just explode with excitement. Chapter 1, verse 17. I got my scoop sheet today because I want to read you some various translations, and I packed them up so that we wouldn't all get confused. This is Paul's prayer for the church of Ephesians. This is him watching over the church at Ephesus. And he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father, will give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you may know. What if I prayed for you that you have wisdom, that you have knowledge, that you have understanding? See, that's where I begin. Sometimes we're prompted to begin in one spot, prompted to begin in another. These are not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in order. This is as the Spirit prompts you. But Paul prayed for them. Now, there's a difference in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge is just a grasp of the facts. But understanding is no matter how you shuffle things, I can still come back and put things in order because I have more than knowledge. It's not memorized. You know, I was an excellent student because I had the ability to memorize. The courses I struggled with, the courses you had to understand, like chemistry or like geometry, where you had to understand and see something. I didn't see anything. You give me the glossary. I memorized the biology glossary from A to Z and quoted it. That's how I got 100. I had a great mind, but I had the understanding. There's knowledge and there's understanding. There's wisdom. Now, wisdom is skill. In the Scripture, it's always skill. It's the ability to take the knowledge and the understanding you have and put it to practice. You can take one down and get you a book on the plumbing codes and memorize the code and take the test. That doesn't mean you can fix the sink. If you have understanding, then when they talk to you on the phone, you can talk to both of my children on the phone about your computer, and they have enough, more than knowledge, they have understanding. Understanding is greater than knowledge. They can tell you over the actually, because he has understanding. And then wisdom is, how do I take the understanding I have and actually fix the sick? And wisdom is a skill word. It's not just, I'm so smart, I'm exploding. Wisdom is, you know what to do with the knowledge. You know how to fix it. You know how to repair it. You know how to structure it. And so all of those three things, would that help you if I saw you struggling and I sent you wisdom and knowledge and understanding? Would that help you? Oh, my. That's all some people need. They just need to know and they don't know. Now, I don't know if you know or not, but I know the Holy Ghost and he knows. And I feel prompted. Lord, give them the spirit of wisdom. In fact, if you don't feel prompted to pray the scripture, it's not going to hurt them. You know? So I say, what if I pray wrong? So if you're praying the word of God, you're not going to do any damage. And let me read you. The Message Bible says, to make you intelligent and discerning to know God personally. What if you knew God better? What if you knew that he was big? What if you understood he was on your side? What if you understood he's not condemning? What if you had greater grasp of his nature, of his character? Would that be helpful to you? If I prayed for you and you had a greater grasp of who God is? The Spirit will make you wise and let you understand what it means to know God. I said, oh, show them what it means to know you. And then the New Century says to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know God better. What a wonderful place. What a wonderful thing we can do for one another. Why say you're struggling? You know, sometimes you do know some things, you just need to be reminded. So, oh, show her a reminder of who you are. Reminder that you're on her side. Give her the wisdom and the knowledge. Now, this verse, look at Colossians 1. Let's read this concept again, where it's slightly different, Colossians. See, I can pray the word. I'm going to pray for you first. I'm going to esteem you better. I'm going to prefer you before myself. I'm concerned about you and your need. But I'm going to send you wisdom about God and who he is and what he'll do in your life. Shh. If that doesn't help you, something's wrong with you bigger than we thought. Now, Colossians 1:9, I'm going to tell you what the King James says. I love this. I used to ride the bicycle and sing this. You know me, I make everything up. Which cause I also says the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you, my desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might be what? You know, that's a lot of the confusion sometimes. I don't know what to do. I don't know what God wants. I don't know exactly what's right. I don't know what's wrong. I'm over here, and then I waver, and I'm over here, and I have two opinions. That's part of the problem. What if you were filled with the knowledge of his will? What if you knew God, and you knew his character, and you knew his nature, and you knew his will? You knew what he wanted. What if you knew what he wanted? See, that's the problem with most of you that have a clue what God wants. Or if they do, they don't know how to get it. Now, the New Living says, we ask God to give you complete understanding of what he wants to do in your life. Would that help somebody if you prayed that way? Lord, give them complete understanding of what you want to do. You know, it was a minister that ministered here. We call it a Norvalism in our household because he's the master of stating the obvious. And he said, my brother and sister, you can't do anything you don't know how to do. But what if God came and you were filled not only with the knowledge of the understanding, but the wisdom? Wisdom is the how to do part. We ask him to make you wise with spiritual wisdom. The CEV says God will show you everything he wants you to do. Praying for other people, would that be helpful? Mom, that would help me so much. Just show baby what you want her to do. Give her wisdom. Show her how to do it. Would that be helpful? See, praying for others sometimes is not as complicated as we've made it. One lady told me, she said, I said, what are you going to do? She described the situation. What are you going to do? She said, I'm going to pray every single day. So many, she had a vast amount of time until I see an answer. Well, as much as that is occasionally the will of God, sometimes the will of God might be the will of God in her case. I can't tell you if it was or what the will of God. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes people that are geared into that, they're going to pray in tongues an hour, and they're going to pray in tongues 2 hours, pray in tongues 3 hours, and all they had to say is, Lord, show them what to do. Just show them what to do. And all the rest, helpful, but not necessary in every case, you see. Because you're prompted by this, you're watching in the Spirit. And I sense if you knew what to do, you'd do it. I just sense that. If she knew what to do, we'd ask God to give you a complete understanding of what he wants to do. See, praying for others. Pray the word. Begin with the word. Include the depth of the Spirit, because there are always facets of things we don't understand. Now look at Colossians 4:12. This is how Epaphras prayed. He prayed for the Colossians. He was one of them. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer. What was he praying? That you might stand perfect and complete in the will of God. That they might know the will of God. They might walk in the will of God. Perfect means mature. And complete means to fulfill, to be finished, to accomplish. When you have a box that's filled up, it's complete. That's the context of the Greek language. And he just said, he's not just praying a little bit, he's laboring fervently. See, he had that on his heart. If they just were mature and complete in the will of God, full of the will of God, he had that so that he labored fervently. It doesn't say he was praying about their love walk. It doesn't say he was praying about their faith. He was laboring fervently over and over and over again. See, that was the leadership of the Spirit for them. That's where he helped them. He kept sending them the will of God, sending them in prayer, knowledge of God's will. That's what they needed. That was the direction of God. Now, let's go to Colossians 1:11. Let me show you the next thing you can do. Whether they know God better, they know his will, they have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That's thing one. Now, here's thing two, it's strength. Paul was praying for the Colossians, Church of Colossae, and he said, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power and the patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, I'm going to help that would be to me. If you just pray that I would have the strength. If I'm patient, long-suffering, that means I can stand. If I'm not, well, I'm not going to give up, I'm not going to relinquish. What a help that would be. How simple that is. If God begins to prompt you, she's weary, she's tired. One lady told me, Daddy lived with us a couple years before he went to be with the Lord, and those were difficult years. And we did what we had to do, and Wayne and I worked together, but I didn't have much time with the Lord. Daddy was a very light sleeper. And so in the night when I woke up, I would tiptoe and pass Daddy's door. He wanted his door open all the time, and so we did that. And he said one day, don't close my door. Leave my door open. And I said, Daddy, has anybody ever closed your door? He said, no. But sometimes fear, don't let fear get you. I said, we won't be closing the door. I would tip in the office the other in the house. I couldn't turn any lights on. I ordinarily would brew a cup of coffee. Couldn't do that because Dad would wake up. But I would tip in there because you have all these office machines with little blue lights, you know, the computer and the printer, all of that, all those blue. But it's sort of like a, you know, there's a lot of light and you can't read by, but there's a lot of light. And I'd sit in there and pray and sit in there and comfort myself in the Lord and sit there and tell myself I could do it. And I have relatives. We had to all work together. You don't think that was a chore. You hadn't tried that. And so I would sit in there. Well, after Daddy died, a lady right here, she said, you know, I used to see you come on Wednesday night with your father. And I used to say, Lord, oh, is she going to make it? I must have looked terrible, I guess. She said, I'd say, Lord, oh, is she going to make it? Oh, how helpful that was. That she would pray that I'd be strengthened. That she would pray that I wouldn't quit. Now, listen to the translators. We pray you have the strength to stick it out. Over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It's strength that endures the unendurable and spills over to joy. Would that help you? If somebody prayed that you have the strength to go on, that you not quit. And see, it's divine strength. It's an infusion of strength. God will strengthen you with his own great power. Would that work for you? Could I do that for you? Could you do that for me? So that you will not give up when trouble comes, but you will be patient. You know that I am a quitter. I just admit that. I've been a quitter all my life. If I wasn't going to make an A in school, I wasn't going to even try. I'm not going. I'm like an A or I quit. I quit ahead of time. You don't have to run me out. I quit already. I've always been that way, and I have to watch myself. If things get really tough and think it's hard to handle, my first reaction, which is not necessarily the spirit reaction, very seldom the spiritual reaction, is, okay, you did, I quit. So you have to know yourself. Well, what if God strengthened me with his power? His glorious power will make you patient and strong enough to endure anything, and you'll be truly happy. Could you do that for me? Would you do that for me? Could I do that for you? Now, I might say that you're weak and weary. I might just know your circumstances. So I just pray that because I know you. I might just be prompted. I don't know you from Adam's house cat. And I don't know what that means, but that's what we always say. I don't think Adam had a house cat, but we don't know. Now, I'm just prompted to there's something in me that says she's so tired, she's so weary, she can't go on. I will prefer you, I will consider you, first I will pray for you to have strength. Now look at Ephesians 3, let's look at it again. Strength is the second thing that we can do. We pray for one another. We pray the word. Say, are we going to pray in other tongues? No, yes, but not today. You have to come back, part two. Look at verse 16, which is another prayer. See, we're praying for others. We're watching over others. What can you do for others? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. There is in the spirit man a divine infusion of Holy Ghost power, of Holy Ghost strength that helps me not to grit my teeth and go on. Sometimes we grit our teeth and go on, but I don't have any choice. I couldn't duck daddy on the curb. I don't have any choice. I have to go on. And sometimes that's all the strength we have. It's just our teeth are gritted and we're just enduring. But what if there was a divine infusion, a flow of strength into me, and it got easier and easier? When I first figured out how big love was, and I examined every single word in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, looked in several dictionaries, knew all the intricacies and details. First thing I wanted to do, because this is me, I said, I quit. Because I said, I can't do that. I know I can't do that. There's no way I can do all that. I just thought if I just conquered unselfishness, I'll never be selfish. And I'll just take one person, I'll never be selfish with Wayne. At 2 weeks later, I was worn out. I was absolutely worn out. I remember we had still had the sofa that's been reupholstered. We had a green plaid sofa, and I bowed underneath of that sofa. Wayne was out working in the garden. We had a garden. He comes from a farm family. And delivered, thank God. Children used to say, don't they sell that at Publix? And I cried and cried and cried and cried. And I told them, I can't do it. I can't do it. I got sick and tired of waiting on him. I thought, just for a change, he ought to do something for me. That's what I thought. And I said, well, I can't. I quit. I can't. And he spoke to me. Never have forgotten. He says, you have no choice. Because love is right. But what do I need? Strength. Strength to carry on. Not to grit my teeth, but a divine infusion. What if I sent to you, or you sent to me, a divine infusion of strength and power? You could pick up your feet higher, run faster. See, you're supposed to have enough strength to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. That's the kind of strength you're supposed to have. Where does it come from? Does it come from bulldog tenacity? It comes from the Spirit of living God. So we're going to pray for strength. Now look at 3:17 Ephesians. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Now, that's a peculiar rendering. The CEV says that Christ will live in your heart because of your faith. The thing that helps us understand that is Luke 22:32. Luke 22:32, Jesus said to Peter, Peter's going to deny him. He said he wasn't, but God knows he is going to deny him. He said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. What a marvelous thing to do for one another. What a marvelous thing. He said, Peter, I'm praying for you. He said, Peter did have faith. Peter was like me, he's inclined to quit. Some people should quit and they don't. You know there's problems on either side of the coin. He said, I prayed for you. What if you prayed for me? And that word dwell, if Christ might dwell in your heart by faith, means to have permanent residence. That faith is always here, always active, always online. My confidence in God, my confidence in his word. And no matter how much pressure you put on me, so you can put pressure on me, you can put pressure on people, and their faith begins to waver. But if you prayed for me and supported my faith and supported the scripture that I knew, that my faith wouldn't fail. What a wonderful thing you've done for me. If you send me wisdom of what to do, and wisdom that knows God better than I've ever known him before, and the strength to carry on, and a faith that doesn't waver, you have done marvelous things for me. And I can do that for you. Now, what about love? This same prayer. Verse 17, you being rooted and grounded in love, being able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, length, and depth, and height. The message says your feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the Christians the extravagant dimensions of God's love. Reach out, experience the breadth, test the length, plumb the depth, and rise to the heights. In other words, we're to grow in love. We're to abound in love. We're to increase in love. Not to be planted in love, but love is a growing commodity. We talked about that last week. Love grows. It says that we, first that's what it says, we may abound and increase in love. Let me give you that reference so we don't have to read that. We read that last week. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12 and 13. Lord, make you to increase and abound The translator said, make it to overflow. And one translator says that love splashes out of you everywhere you go. What if you were inclined to be snippy, but in the spirit? You know, snippy. One lady told me I never heard this expression about so-and-so needs some help. She's having a little snip. You know about a little snip? It's not a southern word. And you know that word? I never heard that before. I knew what it meant. I was like, okay. I know about snips. What if instead of that, the love of God, that she's, see, when you come to God, he plants his love in you. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. And so you do have the God's love in you. What if that love was magnified? What if it's accented? What if you abound and increased in that love? What if you began to know its height, its length, its breadth, and depth? You began to know it and see it and understand its importance. And know that's the only command we have in the New Testament. It's the only thing God asks you to do is walk in love. If you're not walking in love, your faith doesn't work. You're totally disabled. You never get your answer. But what if I sent you that and suddenly you're reminded about God's love? Or suddenly, you know, I read all the time. I see things I never saw before. I've been working for years. The verse of the Old Testament says, Esau have I hated, but Jacob have I loved. I thought that's strange, God. That's very strange. And I was reading the minor prophets over the holidays and suddenly I saw it. I thought, I know what you meant there. I know what you meant there, God. See that. And what if you could see love bigger than you've ever seen it before? What if you could see the importance and the grandeur? What if you could realize you're rooted and grounded? You know, you take a little bitty oak tree, and if you're going to move that tree, you better move it quick. Because they put roots down to the ground. They don't have to do it this high before you cannot get them out of the ground. And see, you're grounded and you're rooted in God's love, and you're stable by his love, and you're walking constantly in his love. And that love is growing and abounding. And if you have some tension, sometimes I just see, you know, this is a tense family. Or this is a lady that's really in need, or a man that's really in need. They said I was sent to ask to go visit one lady, and I did, and she didn't know why I was there. And after I talked to her, I didn't know why I was there myself. But anyway, she had broken her husband's arm. She said, you don't have to take care of me. I can take care of myself. I said, I see that. She's broke his arm. Well, she doesn't see love like she should. She doesn't understand God and his love. I can do that for her. I can send that information to her. I can cause love to expand. Now look at Colossians 1:10. Two more, we're finished. See, we're going to pray for one another. And it's bigger. There are some things I can do. I don't have to spend an hour in tongues. I might, though. First thing I want to do is check the Spirit. Is there any of the word of the Lord that I can send to you? The strength of heaven, the wisdom of God, faith that doesn't waver, love that is rooted. That's what you need first. Colossians 1 is obedience. Colossians 1:10. That you walk worthy of the Lord in all things. And when you walk worthily, you walk acceptably. The mother of your holy as he is holy. You're living right, you're walking right. You know, sometimes we're not doing too good, but we don't see that. I can pray for you once, suddenly you realize, I should never have done that. You know, two or three times lately, people have said the ugliest things to me. I have never been so mistreated. And I won't tell you, first of all, I wanted to quit and say, let the heck with you, lady. But I'm here to help. Why are people so ugly? And I could tell they didn't have a clue they've been ugly. I said, Lord, how can that happen? That you can abuse people and not know it. Well, see, what are you going to pray? That the love of God will be in them and they will see it and they will become obedient to that love and their behavior will be accepted, not to me, but to God. Because that's going to help me a lot. If you obey God, I won't be benefited. And so I pray about your obedience. Now, I'm not judging you and I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm just saying, God, that her behavior may please you. Because that's what the scripture said. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say, you know, don't be so nosy. Don't feel like you have to embellish and tell them. God knows what she did, what she said, what you did, and what you said. Just leave him. His advantage is mine. I will repay it. God can fix it. He can instruct. He can help. He can tell. He can illuminate. You know, one time God said, now I must illuminate so you can eliminate. So if he illuminates it to me, I'd say, oh, I'm going to change that. I've done a lot of things I thought, shh. I looked back at my daddy's tenure with us for 2 years, and I saw this, oh, I wish I'd done that different. I wish I'd done that different. My, I wish I'd done that different. And I thought, I wish Wayne had done that different. And next thing you know, I'm eaten up with condemnation until this year when I wasn't really even considering my goals for the year. Not really big on that, but okay. But it came to me. It just came to me. The Lord began to deal with me. Quit looking back. Oh, how helpful that's been to me. A couple times I think of it, I said, no, you said. See, your mind, forget those things that are behind and press on. Just turn loose of that. Press on. Quit looking back at that. Because you weren't perfect. And we weren't perfect. And it's not a contest of perfection. It's a walk with God. And if I just pray that you saw it. See, I see that now. I see. I can be obedient now. I'm not going to look back. I'm tempted every now. I think of something. I think, no, I'm not going to look at that. I asked one lady how she survived at a certain thing. She said, I quit looking at it. Well, she got that from the Lord. She said, if you can see what you need to correct and change, I said, Lord, that she'll please you. That's all I'm praying, that she'll please you. That her behavior pleases you. And then the final thing is in Ephesians chapter 3. That you be full of the Spirit. Would that help you? You know, Scripture, speaking yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart, the Lord, that keeps you full of the Spirit. That means some days you're full, some days you're not full. That's like some days you've had enough to eat, some days you haven't. And when you don't, you go in the refrigerator. I haven't bought any groceries. And after Wayne and I, we buy dark chocolate candy. Because that's the sweetest thing that we dare eat. And we have dark chocolate candy bar will last about 3 weeks. And we had the last bites by that big. And then I opened the refrigerator, and I closed it, and I opened it, and I closed it, and I opened it, and I closed it. And then Wayne and there, he said, let me look. Things we can do for one another. This is what we're watching for. The first thing we're watching for is to keep your faith from wavering, to send you the strength to carry on, to give you the wisdom and knowledge of God, about God and about what you should do, to help you stay planted in love and be obedient and please God in all things. And then stay full of the Spirit, because all of these others are going to be easy if you're full. Verse 1, ask him the Lord rain. Rain is the Spirit. In the time of the latter rain, so the Lord will make bright clouds, which is lightning, and give them showers of rain. That's what you see, to everyone. That's the key word here, to everyone. Everyone gets grass. Everyone has enough rain to grow fruit. Every single one is to be full of the Spirit and to have enough of the Spirit and the Word of the living God to live successfully. And if that's all I do, and you feel prompted suddenly, say, I don't have to come to you. I don't have to say anything to you. The Holy Ghost, now I've had times the Holy Ghost would go tell them. I just simply not say that to me. That's the truth. If you really want to straighten something out, it's not time. The only time to do that is when you really don't want to go and God keeps sending you. That's the truth. But if you are full of the Spirit, it'd be easier to walk in love. Be easier to keep your faith stable. It'd be easier to hear from heaven, have wisdom and knowledge. It'd be easier not to waver, wouldn't it? And you'd be stronger, because strength comes from the Spirit. Do you see that? Now, in addition to that, we're going to pick up some things in other tongues. But this is where we're going to start with the Word. Watching in the Spirit. How can I help you? How can I prefer you? How can I alternate solution in your life. As that, just that simple as those six things. I make sure that you have love, that your faith is working, that you're pleasing God, that you're strong, that you understand His will, and that you're full of the Spirit. And if I do those six things for you, you probably won't need anything else from me. You see that?